a boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It'd be paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on promoting the earth and telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna cry. For Mother Earth, makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna cry.
Did they ever hear of solar power? Ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave? We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Good morning. Glad you can join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic at 6 a.m. for Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2022. I'm so excited to be here live today with my co-hosts, my friends. I'm usually not available on Saturdays.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Our Ecologic Collective has lots of opinions on the various holidays that come around this time of year, but what unifies them all is the reason for the season, the winter solstice, the shortest day and longest night of the year. In ancient times, various peoples had different means of calling the sun back. Those practices have been transformed into today's religious winter holidays. Today, some communities host memorials for unhoused individuals who have passed on during the year, highlighting the struggles of the marginalized in our society. Helping others is a huge theme of holiday times, getting away from what do I get and what do I give, and moving to what can I do for others. That's the real spirit of the eco holidays.
This morning on Ecologic at 6 a.m., the earthquake in California, 10 miles from a nuclear power plant, the fight to preserve Governor's Island, and you'll get to talk to one of the people who sells Christmas trees in the city as part of a workers' cooperative.
What you're hearing now is pre-recorded, but we'll go live at about 6:20, and we'll be taking your calls.
The U.S. Geological Survey announced that an earthquake magnitude 6.4 struck in Pacific Ocean waters at 3:24 a.m. Pacific time this Tuesday at a depth of about 10 miles. The epicenter is about 19 miles from Eureka, California in Humboldt County, where widespread infrastructure damage was reported. As of Tuesday morning, the National Weather Service's tsunami warning system reported no tsunami threat associated with the quake. Phew. More than three dozen smaller quakes struck afterward. Originally, about 70,000 customers were without electricity. At least two people died, senior citizens with medical emergencies who could not be reached in time.
From Tim Judson of the Nuclear Information and Resource Service comes this information about a decommissioned nuclear plant near the epicenter. We're keeping our eyes peeled for updates on aftershocks, tsunami reports, etc. The epicenter was just offshore, about 10 miles deep, about 240 miles north of San Francisco. That is at least quite a ways from the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant, but not far from the Humboldt Bay nuclear plant. All of the waste is in dry casks there. It is possible that the shaking may have shifted the casks, depending on how much ground motion there is. In any case, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission should require a report and conduct an inspection promptly to assess the situation. The casks are supposed to stay a minimum distance from each other for proper air circulation. It is unlikely any of them would have tipped over unless the concrete pad itself were damaged or unstable. But how much they moved would be important to assess. And if there's new information available, we'll have it live later in the show.
We've been playing the full versions of songs in our opening theme medley, but today we're going to give you the full version of one of the songs from our solar medley outro, Bright Morning Star's Solar Carol, performed by the DC Labor Chorus.
That's Solar Carol by the DC Labor Chorus. You'll hear Bright Morning Star's version in the outro after the show.
We mentioned last week our ongoing support for the Commons. Back in August 2021, we discussed the rezoning of Governor's Island and the May 2021 lawsuit by MAGIC, Metro Area Governor's Island Coalition. Here's Roger Manning from MAGIC. Hi, Roger.
I'm Roger Manning, longtime Lower Manhattan resident and co-founder of the Metro Area Governors Island Coalition, MAGIC. So Governors Island is a 172-acre island, 800 yards off the southern tip of Manhattan in New York Harbor. Originally, it was used by the Lenape, and then it became the first European settlement in what became New York City. So it's the first New York City. And then it was used by the Army for over a century, and then the Coast Guard. And eventually it was turned over to New York City and is now an incredibly unique green urban refuge, you know, free of high-rise, high-density development and traffic. It serves as a safe pastoral experience for New York City children and their families, and it provides space for environmental, educational, arts, historic projects, and wildlife. There's a national monument on the island and a historic district. It's just an awesome place to enjoy some natural space for New Yorkers. New Yorkers from all zip codes visit the island each year, although there's millions of, millions of New Yorkers don't even know they have this resource. The resulting deed in 2003 set out to, quote, ensure the protection and preservation of the natural, cultural, and historic qualities of Governor's Island, so that the island would serve as a, quote, educational and civic resource of special historic character and as a recreational and open space resource, unquote. That's Governor's Island. The intent when making this place a public resource did not include essentially privatizing the island by turning it into a research campus, which is sort of a plan that seems to be in the works right now. The other intent was not to fuel the city's economic engine. The city has been boasting that a so-called climate center that may happen on the island would bring in $1 billion and 7,000 jobs for the city economy. And really, where's the data behind that? And the Governor's Island deed requires that any income generated on Governor's Island shall be used solely to the operation of the island. That was like a move to help protect the place from being exploited. There's other things in the deed that have this similar purpose. And there was a 2021 rezoning of the southern part of Governor's Island, which would allow high-rise, high-density commercial development on the island, which would cast all kinds of shadows and box and parklands that exist there and impose on the Harbor School, which is a high school on the Governor's Island. And actually, Governor's Island is, in its tax forms, is designated as a wildlife preserve, which is interesting. In any case, putting this big development right in the middle of what is a flood zone on landfill, it just doesn't seem like very sustainable. And anyway, so the lawsuit, there's a lawsuit that was filed against that rezoning just to overturn it. The rezoning wasn't necessary to bring in this climate center project that a lot of people have been talking about that has been, proposed for the island. They could have simply extended a 2013 rezoning that was applied to the historic district in the north part of the island, just to the south part, to give it more usage that would be allowed, yet keep building heights at a low level, which would be, you know, much more beneficial to the character of the place in terms of keeping it an open green space that people are currently enjoying. On December 8th, the lawsuit against that 2021 rezoning was dismissed by the court, but the notice of appeal has already been filed, which happened on December 14th. So things continue on. The lawsuit is filed by myself, Roger Manning, co-founder of MAGIC, the Metro Area Governors Island Coalition, and 25 other plaintiffs, including New York Clearwater and other various awesome organizations and individuals from New York. All these things are visible on the MAGIC website, govislandcoalition.org. And what people can do at this point is two things. Two things are needed. One is to spread the word about this issue and about Governor's Island in general. A lot of people just don't know about it. People that visit the island regularly, almost daily sometimes, and even staff on the island are unaware that this rezoning happened and there's this threat of overdevelopment there. So spreading the word is really helpful. If you go to govislandcoalition.org, there's links to all our social media sites as well. Some people like to keep up with things through, the social media sites. We have that, or you can just read the materials on the website. The other thing is our legal fund is going to need a lot of help, and there's links on the website to that. And the other quick update is that this week, Community Board 1, which is the community board in Lower Manhattan that's responsible for helping the public to have input with regard to Governor's Island, had came up with a resolution responding to proposals for the climate center that were presented. The trust and the city, like I mentioned, is trying to create a quote-unquote Center for Climate Solutions in Governor's Island. That's their way of sort of attracting developers. They actually 25% of the development zones that are set aside would be used for the climate center. And then the other 75% of these development zones are wide open to high rise commercial development. You know, it's a bit of a Trojan horse. But in any case, the Community Board 1 came up with a really good resolution highlighting numerous issues with these potential plans for a climate center on Governor's Island. And that's helpful. Yeah, well, go to govislandcoalition.org and you'll see the social media links there. So you can get on our Instagram or our Facebook or our Twitter for updates. And of course, the website, it gets updated too, but I think the social media is a little quicker for, you know, last minute updates and stuff.
Yeah, we wish you luck. Let's have some more music. I first heard Dar Williams' song, The Christians and the Pagans, right here on WBAI. I've been a fan of her since I first heard her song about the Hudson River, even before I found out she was an ecologic listener. I love the unity of this song. As someone without a family, it bothers me when people get rid of members of their own family for what, to me, are superficial reasons, like who they fall in love with or what religion they adopt. Well, here's Dar Williams.
Your uncle said we're up here for the holiday. Jane and I were having solstice. Now we need a place to stay. And her Christ-loving uncle watched his wife hang Mary on a tree. He watched his son hang candy canes all made with red dye number 3. He told his niece it's Christmas Eve. I know our life is not your style. She said Christmas is like solstice and we miss you and it's been a while. So the Christians and the pagans sat together at the table, finding faith and common ground the best that they were able. Just before the meal was served, hands were held and prayers were said, sending hope for peace on earth to all their gods and goddesses. The food was great, the tree plugged in, the meal had gone without a hitch, till Timmy turned to Amber and said, is it true that you're a witch? His mom jumped up and said, the pies are burning, and she hit the kitchen, and it was Jane who spoke. She said, it's true, your cousin's not a Christian. But we love trees, we love the snow, the friends we have, the world we share, and you find magic from your God, and we find magic everywhere. So the Christians and the pagans sat together at the table, finding faith and common ground, the best that they were able. Now where does magic come from? I think magic's in the learning. Cause now when Christians sit with pagans, holy pumpkin pies are burning. When Amber tried to do the dishes, her aunt said, really, no, don't bother. Amber's uncle saw how Amber looked like him and like her father. He thought about his brother, how they hadn't spoken in a year. He thought he'd call him up and say, it's Christmas and your daughter's here. He thought of father's sons and brothers, saw his own son tug his sleeve, saying, can I be a pagan? Dad said, we'll discuss it when they leave. So the Christians and the pagans sat together at the table, finding faith and common ground, the best that they were able. Lighting trees in darkness, learning Lewis from the old, and making sense of history and drawing warmth out of the cold.
You're on.
Okay.
And that was Dar Williams, The Christians and the Pagans. I first heard that on BAI. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. We are now live, getting ready to talk to our guest, Troy Swift, and then take your phone calls.
And thanks to Donna Gilmore of San Onofre Safety and NIRS, who sent us information about the Humboldt Bay Nuclear Power Plant near the California earthquake. She points out that, quote, locals are concerned that the cliff where the waste canisters are stored will end up in the ocean. It's a very unstable situation with lots of erosion in that area. It's super scary.
The good news is that the fuel isn't high burn-up fuel, which is the most radioactive. But the bad news is that the Humboldt plant does have damaged fuel assemblies. Worse, unlike the situation in Fukushima, where the thick-walled metal cask could be opened to ensure the fuel rods and basket structures weren't damaged, there is no way to do that with any thin-walled canister system. As Ms. Gilmore says, we'll only know there's a problem after there is a hydrogen explosion or the fuel goes critical when water enters the canisters.
EcoWatch.com reported that a section of a gas pipeline in western Russia exploded, and three repair workers were killed, one driver suffering from shock. The pipeline, which is currently the primary gas export route from Russia to Europe, transports gas from Siberia to Central Europe via Ukraine. Local officials said that the gas flare had been extinguished and supplies rerouted.
A holiday gift from Washington, D.C., though. Yeah. The omnibus bill was passed without Joe Manchin's dirty deal. It was defeated for the fourth time. Will he get the hint?
Let's hope.
We think you value the environmental news and views we bring you each week. You listen to environmental news because you care. And Ecologic also cares about you and the air you breathe and the water you drink. Let's work together to keep this show and WBAI on the air. Now we need you to show that you care. Yes, it's serious. We're at a crossroads, and you make a difference. Ecologic brings you actions you can take. Letters, emails, petitions, rallies, marches, direct actions. It's all important. And the nitty-gritty of raising funds are also part of that equation. Please help us keep WBAI on the air. Call and contribute now. The donation number is 212-209-2950. We'll give you the number to talk to our guest in a few minutes. But the donation number is 212-209-2950.
You are interested in the welfare of the planet and its people and animals, fauna and flora. You need Ecologic to bring you up-to-date information. Please make it possible for us to do that by supporting WBAI. Please consider taking the next few moments to pick up the phone and make that call, or go online and make that donation. Contributing now shows that Ecologic is important to you, and you care about protecting our air and water. It's a win-win for you and Ecologic. The number to call is 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
Ecologic and WBAI continue to offer you environmental news, information, and entertainment. Ecologic at 6 a.m. includes more music and listener calls, but fewer live interviews with experts. It took until this show, our fourth, to have a live guest. Our listener-supported radio station needs you.
We have a history of championing public spaces, a.k.a. the Commons, from Van Cortlandt Park to Governor's Island to East River Park to Liberty State Park and the New York Botanical Gardens. These are among the many environmental stories we cover that affect our health and well-being. Ecologic serves you and the community. We can't do it without you. It's the truth. We're about the truth. We're about exposing the bad guys and celebrating the good ones. Support us. The number is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
The environment is not some abstract thing. It is the air we breathe and the water we drink. And even though you may not know much about crop irrigation quality, that affects you too. And all of this affects our health, our health care costs, flooding in Central America. And then where are your bananas? Where is your butter going to come from if there are droughts and cows can't graze on yummy grass?
Listen, what do you hear? Nothing if there isn't a transmitter to broadcast our signal that you're now hearing. Donate to the Tower Fund to keep WBA on the air. Donate to keep the transmitter broadcasting WBAI. We thank you for everything you have done for our WBAI in the past and look for your continued support so we can keep thanking you. A good way to do that is to become an Ecologic WBAI buddy. You can phone or go online and say you want to be a buddy in the name of your favorite radio program, Ecologic.
Once upon a time, there was no listener-supported radio. Then the Pacifica Network was created. WBAI became part of that network 10.5 years later, and you've kept us going ever since. WBAI has been involved in every political and social struggle, including the climate crisis. Now, were you there in the beginning? Probably not. Are you going to be there in the end? We hope not. We hope you'll keep us going. We need you to help keep us going. Call 212-209-2950.
Right now, BAI's end-of-year campaign, Let's Enjoy Our Future Together, will help the station take charge of our tower rent to Times Square for 2023. You can support WBAI's free speech community radio by becoming a BAI buddy, pledging for premiums, or by making a one-time donation today. The Tower Fund is back on our radar. It will continue to keep coming back as WBAI needs to ensure that our signals gets to you. The Times Square Tower has a wide reach, but if our rent is not paid, that won't help us.
Donating to the Transmitter Tower Fund helps keep every single show on the air. Go to www.towerfund.wbai.org. Help WBAI take charge of our transmission tower rent. We need everybody. We need you. Towerfund.wbai.org.
And I should mention that tower has solar panels on it, and those panels were installed by Anthony Pereira, who has been a guest on Ecologic several times. And there's a lot we cover that's unknown to the public or so controversial that commercial radio won't touch it. The whole thing about East River Park, the press was gung-ho about reporting the then-mayor's contribution to Prospect Park, but the previous week completely ignored the illegal destruction of a huge park in an already underserved community. And where did you hear about that? Right here on Ecologic and other WBAI shows. Nowhere else. And that is why this Tower Fund needs your support. That's why you need to support Ecologic, and that's why you need to support WBAI. Please go to www.towerfund.wbai.org now.
Ecologic has been on WBAI for 20 years, so we've covered lots of environmental topics. And some of our most popular past shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts to our donors. Our DVDs include Comparing Grassroots and National Organizing, which was a panel of four activists giving advantages and disadvantages of local versus national activism. It was a panel that seemed to have a magic to it, and I was part of that one.
Cool. To support Ecologic and have it be a win-win, you can choose from our many premiums. Please go to ecologic.wbai.org to choose for yourself from our many options.
We also have a variety of music CDs, the Ray Corona Band's Too Much Sunshine, the Raging Grannies with Pete Seeger at Clearwater, and an Indian Point song sampler. We have a selection of more than 25 items for you to choose from on ecologic.wbai.org. Leave out the www. ecologic.wbai.org. Other offerings are the Hudson River Sloop Clearwater Sailing Up the Hudson and live music from New York City Friends of Clearwater's Water Festival.
We have a 4-CD set that includes 5 Ecologic episodes, Drinking Water, Bottled Water and the Plastic It Comes In, Demystifying the Electricity Grid, Health Effects of Indoor Plants, plus 1 year after the BP oil spill, and Fracking. Your donation gets you the premium and a 1-year membership to BAI. You can become a sustaining member as a BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic. Make sure you do it in the name of Ecologic. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. We look forward to being your Ecologic buddy.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. The mailing address is WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
I was out driving the other day, and as usual, listening to WBAI. Once again, I heard discussions of really important issues and community conversation, which makes me realize how important our station is to the city, how it reflects a variety of voices and issues, and how we cover stories ignored by mainstream media. We're listener-supported community radio. That means we have an ongoing need for financial support from you, our listeners. Our tower rent continues every month. Among all the holiday gift giving, we could really appreciate. We really need some holiday gelt in our Christmas stocking. We do our best to stretch our resources. We make do with less, but we do need the basics. And that is why we need your support. That is why we need you to support Ecologic. That is why we all need to support WBAI. Please show us how much you appreciate this type of programming by being a supporter. I guarantee you the appreciation will be mutual.
Before we bring you Troy Swift, we are going to take advantage of having available the lead singer of the Raging Grannies, Mercy Van Black. Here's Mercy with one of her seasonal songs.
Go.
Mercy. Last Wednesday was the commemoration of the annual Homeless Memorial Day, December 21st. At 168th Street and Broadway, the New York City Raging Grannies sang this song from the Rochester Raging Grannies by Marcia Reaver. Silent night, peaceful night, no more guns, no more fights, no more wars for our daughters and sons. Jobs, not poverty, for everyone. That's the meaning of peace. Then we will sleep in peace. Silent night, peaceful night. Love the kids in our sight. No more shooting or killing nearby. No more children afraid that they'll die. That's the meaning of peace. Then we will sleep in peace. Silent night, peaceful night. Food for all, that's what's right. Warm, bright houses and medical care. Clothes, employment, and good child care. That's the meaning of peace. Then we will sleep in peace.
Thank you, Mercy Van Black of the New York Raging Grannies. And thank you, the Rochester Grannies, for writing that song.
Yeah.
Now, soon we'll want to hear from you and give you a chance to talk to Troy Swift. But, Troy, explain what a Christmas worker co-op is.
Well, we're entirely worker-owned and operated. So instead of having some guy sitting in a warm room, filing his freshly cut nails, collecting most of the profits, and dictating what should be distributed amongst all the workers who are actually out there performing the labor. We distribute everything as evenly as we can amongst ourselves, you know?
So we had a listener actually call in and ask about you guys. Tell us what it's like out there.
Well, generally, I mean, in New York, a couple miles can take about a half an hour to get anywhere, you know. So generally, our days will start around 8, 8:30. We'll get the stands open around 9 a.m., and then we'll just stay out there, try and stay warm, and meet a lot of people, sell as many trees as we can, and then pack it up at the end of the day. Generally, we're out there for... It's usually around 13 hours, generally, you know, between packing up and then, you know, go home, take a nap, and do it again.
Now, we know your old friend and co-worker, Ellis Roberts, co-founded the New York State of Pine. That's the workers' co-op that is it's disrupting the Christmas tree industry's exploitative labor practices. I love that.
Yeah.
We're sorry that your buddy couldn't be here today, but thank you for standing in firm.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Where do you get your trees?
Where do we get them?
Yeah.
So usually in the springtime, we'll have a handful of guys take a ride up the Northeast. This year we got most of our trees from North Carolina, and then we got some from a smaller farm in northern Vermont. Last year we got most of our trees from Nova Scotia. So generally some of us will ride up north through Vermont up into Canada, and we'll individually tag and choose which trees we want to get and, have them shipped to New York. Unfortunately, none of us has a CDL as of yet, so we do have to have a, third-party logistics company bring them in. But, this year we got them from North Carolina. The Blue Ridge Mountains over in the western area of North Carolina are like prime Fraser fir territory. So we got a lot of Frasers, our premium trees, from there. And then this smaller farm in northern Vermont, there's like a 80-some-year-old couple that owns this small farm up there. We got a bunch from there as well.
Cool.
Wow. So a workers co-op dealing with a family-owned business. I think that's pretty cool.
That's the ideal. Yeah.
So how many different kinds of trees do you have?
This year, we had three this year. We got some noble firs, which were beautiful. We got them we actually traded for those. Somebody else had already brought those into the city, and we found some. They were brought over on a nice refrigerated vehicle. They were fresh. They were beautiful. And the balsam and Fraser are pretty much the standard Christmas trees. People call the Fraser the Cadillac of Christmas trees, actually. So we had three varieties this year. Last year we had Douglases and Concolors that we got from Pennsylvania, but those were a little young for cutting this year. We wanted to let them grow a little longer.
Well, it sounds like you love these trees.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate them, that's for sure.
No, you can hear it in your voice. You're definitely the right person to be in business like this.
I spent a lot of time with them, you know?
Yeah.
When I've talked to people on the street who are selling Christmas trees, they always seem to be from Quebec. But you and Ellis have talked about like these businesses where they're exploiting workers. The people from Quebec are like owning and operating their own business.
Yeah.
Talk to us about the different kinds of people selling trees. You guys have the worker co-op.
Actually, the guys from Quebec, I was in the Williamsburg stand this year primarily, and last year as well. And the guys from Quebec actually used to come there. People kept asking me if I'm from Canada. And people really like those guys, but they stopped showing up a handful of years ago. So we started operating there. They didn't show up for a couple of years. Generally, I think that's what you're going to get with, a workers' co-op. We own the tree, like we bought them ourselves, and we're out there moving them around every day and taking care of them. So, we care about them, as opposed to somebody that's just being paid, honestly, probably below minimum wage. A lot of those guys out there, they're not really incentivized to care about the product, They want to hide in the truck. They want to get warm. They want to stay out of the rain, I think that's generally the nature of the beast when it comes to, the capital structure.
Right.
But when you have guys that actually are going to reap the profits and put the work in themselves, then, of course we're going to care more about them.
How do you share the profits? How do you decide how much goes to?
Generally, I think it's about 35 days, depending on how much cleanup there is, I think. So we'll see what we make at the end after all the bills are paid and everything, and then decide what each day was worth and distribute everything according to days worked.
Yeah. Sounds amazingly fair.
Yeah, right. I mean, keep it simple, you know.
Yeah.
So who does the math?
We all do, you know.
So do you stay, are you in the same spot year after year? Or do you
have a couple? Yeah, we've been at Williamsburg for 4 years now, but our the Prospect Heights location, we had three locations this year. One of them was our first year there. The Prospect Heights, 323 St. John's, that's Ellis's stand, who was the man that was going to be on this show initially. And he, he's been there for, I think, 7 or 8 years.
Wow.
In the same spot. Actually, last year, one of his competitors, a few days before opening, outbid him for his spot. He used to be across the street. Now he's in front of the, I think it's called Natural Grocers or something.
And those sites are in Brooklyn, for those of you who don't know who are listening.
Yeah, all three of our stands are in Brooklyn. Hopefully we can get another one.
So where's the Williamsburg spot that you're at?
The Williamsburg, it was on the corner of North 3rd and Bedford, or Metropolitan and Bedford, might be easier to find, but I'm on the North 3rd side of the fence there.
Mm-hmm. Now, because it's new, because it's Christmas Day, are you still open today?
Yeah, we'll be open today. Towards the end, we have this working class solidarity thing we do where people come that couldn't afford a tree otherwise, you know, we would happily give them a tree, you know. We've been doing that for a few years now.
I really love the charitable aspect of the workers' co-op, and how trees are brought to poor areas. I think I think Ella said he had a deal with the bringing trees into the Black Panther collective.
Yeah. Over in New Jersey, that's something that he's been working on. He's, you know. An interesting guy.
How do you take care of the trees once you bring them down?
Once we get them into New York, you mean?
Yeah.
So most of them are stored outside. The rain this year did considerable amount of work for us. Generally, just try and handle them minimally, you know, and when we do, be careful. They're pretty hardy, like, I think that's why they became the Christmas. I'm actually not certain why they became the Christmas tree. I know that there's arguable that originated in Germany, but I read a couple different articles on that now. They really don't take too much maintenance, honestly. The quicker they sell, the better, because the sap does sink to the bottom of the tree and clogs it, makes it difficult for the tree to absorb water after it sits for a while. So we always make a fresh cut on the bottom. And then as long as it's watered every day after that, it should last well through Christmas, you know.
Our listener phone call number is 212-209-2877. So callers, listeners, please, if you would like to talk to Troy. That's 212-209-2877.
And you talked about the, I don't think people realize that sap is still flowing in a tree after the tree is cut down. What other things have you learned about trees now that you're doing this?
I read a lot. Primary trees are the Fraser and the Balsam, which are, they're considered cousin trees. They're native to Appalachian mountain regions. The Fraser only grows at, I read, it's a minimum of 4,500 feet, which is pretty rare. That's, you know, the tallest peak is Mount Mitchell, which is in North Carolina, which is 6,600 feet. So it's a pretty minimal range where they can grow, and they grow more sparsely, so there's generally less of them, you know. But because they grew more sparsely, they became a more resilient tree, you know. They got more subjected to the wind and cold, and they hold ornaments real nice. They're the ones with the stiffer branches, tend to point straight up, as opposed to the balsam, their cousin, where they have thinner twigs, And they tend to open up more once they drink. After that first night of drinking, tend to fan out more. Yeah, I mean, I read a lot about different trees. The you get higher needle retention from the Fraser, but you do get more pine fragrance from the balsam.
Oh.
Yeah. And then you get, you know, we have both the Pacific Northwestern trees. We had the Douglas and the Concolors, which we do get from Pennsylvania, although they are native to the Pacific Northwest. They both have like a tangerine smell to them, which is nice. A lot of people prefer those.
Huh.
And then, yeah, occasionally we do get blue spruce, but we prefer, people like them. They hurt. We don't like transporting them.
Oh.
We do occasionally get some, you know.
Why do they
have a nice color to them, so people like them.
Oh. Yeah. You saying they hurt?
Yeah, they're more, the needles on those are more rounded and they're sharper. They give you a little, they let you know they're there.
They fight back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm aware that there's different species of trees. I mean, as a birder, you sort of learn that, but I never thought about what it would be like to work with them every day, like you guys, and all what the different species do to your arms or whatever.
Yeah. You know what? I think a lot of people don't. And, you know, if somebody that I asked people, last year we did have some blue spruces. And when people looked at them, I asked if they ever had one before. So I let them know, all right, you're going to carry it home. You know, I let them know to be careful.
Ah.
Yeah.
They are a beautiful tree.
Yeah.
So what do you know about the monoculture aspect of growing the trees? What we know that the plants and other plants around there, the animals around there need a diversity of culture. So I understand that they purposely grow other crops below the trees to give that diversity. Do you know about that?
Yeah.
Goldenrod is one thing that they grow.
Goldenrod and clover. Clover makes a good ground cover, and then goldenrod under there. I think those are the two primary things that are planted beneath the trees. And
is a healthy plant. I mean, you know, clover puts nitrates into the soil, which is healthy for the plant. And the microbes in the soil.
Yeah, there's a strong environmental factor in all of this, right? That they need to make sure that it becomes a sustainable crop. You know, this
for
is
sure.
not something you're not cutting down Bambi's forest. You're actually growing the trees in a sustainable way. Ken, do we have a caller?
Yes, we do.
212-209-2877,
and you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. My name is Angel. I wanted to just relate a little anecdote. I bought a tree a couple of days ago, and the this is from someone we had bought last year. It's on Upper Broadway and 103rd, and the gentleman was, we thought he was from Quebec, but he's actually French from Brooklyn, but the product is from Quebec. But he told us that he had just, unfortunately, had to contend with someone who stole a tree who was with a child. But he told me a little story about the tree in that previously or earlier that week, someone had purchased a tree. And because the cat had been eating from the tree, the needles were, I guess, poisonous, and returned the tree to him and said, you want to give it to someone, you know, I'm not going to be able to use it. So he had mentioned that, you know, someone carted it off with a child, and apparently he had some kind of camera where he was able to produce a photo of the, you know, of this unfortunate, theft. So I was wondering whether you had to contend with that. And also had a question for Sally and Ken about the year end, I'm not familiar with, since it's a new time slot, whether the format will allow for it, but whether you have something like a year-end summary or like top 10 stories or maybe the top 10 books or articles you would recommend. So just wanted to plant that seed, and I'll listen off air. Thank you.
Thanks, Angel. That's an interesting thought.
And he's the caller who planted the seed, so to speak, for this show. So indeed, you're getting to hear Troy because of Angel's suggestion. You know, we do love getting suggestions from our listeners. This is your show. It's a listener-supported station, so of course we're going to listen to you guys.
Yeah. So, Troy, have you had that kind of concern?
We definitely we consider theft, you know, unlike the other stands where the guys are paid minimally, but they'll hire more people and have them working around the clock, so guys will be out all night. We actually pack the trees up every night. We got a couple storage locations because, you know, it's not really worth it for us to be out there all night, you know, and we all need rest. So,
yeah.
I mean, as far as theft, I have not experienced it to my knowledge.
Great.
And you know what? Everybody I meet in Brooklyn is really friendly. Like, there's definitely like a laid back Brooklyn vibe that I've gotten, you know, nobody seems to be out to steal a tree. it's really not something that I've had to deal with.
Do you get into conversations with your customers? Or do they just kind of come in and make a transaction and go? Or
No, I generally, sometimes I'll talk a little too long with them, you know. but I mean, it's fun, you know, meeting everybody. Especially, I mean, I'm in Pennsylvania. It's kind of a smaller town, so, you know, it's cool. I meet a lot of people that otherwise I would not be introduced to things that they, you know, introduce me to, you know.
Right.
So it's a satisfying job, it sounds like.
It is for me.
You know, 12 hours a day, but it's a satisfying job. It's, and being in a co-op, I guess, is another satisfactory part about it.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully, you know, as far as the sustainability idea is, you know, as far as cash crops, you know, under the capitalist structure, I think that the Christmas trees are considerably more sustainable than, you know, something, many other crops, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They take minimal pesticides and minimal irrigation, and, you know, they're replanted every year. So this whole thing could lead me into farming one day and learning a lot more about that. And, you know, hopefully one day we can get a farm and, you know, who knows who I'll meet out there.
That is a interesting note to wrap up with, because it is time to wrap up.
Wow.
So
thank you, Troy.
The time goes fast, even though we're back to an hour show. But anyway, thanks for joining us, everybody. We are glad to have you with us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. live or on the archives. I'm glad to be able to be with you live this week. This is Donna. This is for more information on New York State of Pine. Go to www.newyorkstateofpine.com to keep
that's
up.
That's NY State of Pine. That's spelled out.
Right. NYSTATEOFPINE.com. To keep up with the latest on Governor's Island, go to govislandcoalition.org. govislandcoalition.org. Or go to our website, ecoradio.org.
We'd love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter eco-logic.
Our website has information on a variety of environmental topics. So go to www.ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org. Ecologic and WBAI continue to offer you environmental news, information, and entertainment. Ecologic at 6 a.m. includes more music and listener calls. Our listener-supported radio station needs you.
To support Ecologic and have it be a win-win, you can choose from our many premiums. Most can be found on ecologic.wbi.org and on give2wbi.org. To become a member or to contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy, call 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic BAI buddy pledges. Most of the BAI staff, including us, are volunteers. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
Our thanks to our engineer today, Sean Rhodes. We appreciate you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Ecologic wishes you a very happy holiday season. Join us next week for Ecologic at 6 a.m. on New Year's Eve, Saturday, December 31st, for our last show of 2022.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
find that on the radio.
Well, tune in to WBAI and you certainly will get an earful.
You'll turn to that station.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
And you can ensure that WBAI is here for you now and in the future through WBAI's Tower Fund. Go to towerfund.wbai.org and contribute what you can to ensure that the room which houses WBAI's transmitter at 4 Times Square, which costs $17,000 a month, is paid through the coming year. Please go to towerfund@wbai.org or phone 212-209-2950 to help secure WBAI's future.
Hey, thank you to all of you for contributing. And we hope that you are, we hope that you will decide to make a contribution in support of this commercial-free, listener-sponsored radio station.